Ultimately, we're going to do a fully national World Cup, and we're going to need multiple cities in different parts of the country. So we need cities in the Northeast, we need cities in the Southeast, we need cities in the West, and so on. So there's a lot of criteria that goes into it. We're going to, in our bid book, put forward 18 cities.
18?
Yeah. The bid is due at FIFA in the middle of May of next year, and then the final decision by FIFA to award the host nation status is in December of next year. But we'll go out with 18 in our bid book, and so that's a little bit more than is required to actually host a World Cup. If we're awarded the right to host the World Cup in 2018 or 2022, then there'll be a further selection process to get from the 18 to the final actual number, which could be anywhere between 12 and 14.
If Philadelphia ends up in that 18 or in the 12, do you ask the Eagles to widen the field here?
Well, the field dimensions are going to be an issue in almost all the NFL stadiums. I was walking down on the field today, and there's obviously some solutions that could be put into place to add a little bit more grass and go out past, you know, with that concrete, and I guess it's kind of a tartan surface or whatever it is. I think it's playing slightly under 70 yards tonight, and that's probably not going to cut it with FIFA, but we'll see. I mean, ultimately, having a first-class building with the kind of amenities that a modern NFL stadium has is pretty darn important too, and I think 70 yards is basically considered the international minimum standard.
How likely would you gauge the United States' chances on obtaining a bid?
That's very, very difficult to tell. We have a lot of worthy competitors, and ultimately it's a vote of 24 members of the FIFA Executive Committee, so almost anything can happen. I think what we do know is that we have absolutely all the infrastructure necessary to host a great World Cup. We have passion for the sport, as demonstrated by the fact that we broke the record for tickets sold in the 94 World Cup, and it still stands today. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any question we couldn't sell close to 5 million tickets if the World Cup came back here. I think the country has really grown up from a soccer perspective since 1994, but there's also still some room for growth, and I think a World Cup here again in the United States would really really not only impact the sport domestically, but in turn impact it globally. The United States is too big a nation, too big of a consumer presence, not for if the soccer economy of the U.S. picks up, I think it's really going to make an impact around the world.
Do you have any say on with the national team beyond the World Cup bid? Just from the standpoint, do you expect that there'll be more? They haven't been here in four decades. Mm-hmm. And internationally, would you expect that more games will come to Philadelphia?
With the national team?
Yes.
Precisely. I don't know. That's really not my area, okay. So I can't really comment on that.
Does the success of the national team affect the bid at all?
Yeah, I think it does in a little bit of a way. The U.S. national team, although I think some of us may be frustrated by the fact that we haven't won a World Cup yet, the U.S. national team has been pretty successful of late. I mean, consistently a top 20 world-ranked team, one of the few teams that has qualified for the past five World Cups. I think there are only five or six other countries in the world that can say that. I think as the fortunes of the national team go, it definitely reflects positively on the bid. So we're feeling pretty good right now with the performance in the Confederations Cup and the performance in World Cup qualifying.
Have you noticed a change since then in regards to how people are?
I think FIFA is very happy that we're in the process and that we're bidding. I think they would stand to gain a lot if the World Cup were to come back here. So I think it all sort of adds up. But in general, the response from FIFA has been very positive. We got a long way to go and an awful lot to document. And one of the things I should point out, for those of you who may not fully know all the details of the process, it's really more than just a storytelling exercise now. I mean, in the old days, you sort of explained why your country could host the World Cup and why it would be a great thing. Now they literally want you to deliver World Cup in a box, a turnkey operation that's fully contracted, so that if they designate us as the host nation, all of a sudden, literally hundreds of contracts spring into effect. Hotels are locked down, stadiums are locked down, cities are locked down. And we've got to do all that work still. I mean, we're still in the early part of that process, and we'll end up delivering over 50,000 pages of contracts to FIFA by the time it's all said and done.
Given your work with Univision, where do you see the relationship between U.S. Soccer Federation and or MLS and the Hispanic market in this country going in the years to come?
Well, clearly the Hispanic population is huge in the marketing of the sport in the United States, and the you know, the growth of the Hispanic population over the past 15 years and what's anticipated over the next 10 to 12 years is you know, is critical in understanding how soccer is relating to people in this country. I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but our ratings at Univision compared with the ratings that ABC and ESPN had for soccer would indicate that roughly one out of every two soccer fans in the United States is Hispanic. And given that the Hispanic population is growing at a rate that's four or five times what the non-Hispanic population is growing at, it, that, you know, that's going to trend even more so. So it's terribly important for MLS teams to have a sense of their relationship to the Hispanic community within their market. It's terribly important for the national team program to reach out to the Hispanic market. It's one of the things I was involved with when I was at Univision, was trying to make the team more attractive to Hispanics. You know, it may not necessarily be the number one team for somebody that's just arrived from Ecuador or Colombia or Mexico, but certainly it can be a team that's respected and rooted for as the number two team.
Has the way Univision covers the team evolved over time, in your estimation?
Well, Univision's doing an awful lot more coverage of national team matches and putting it, you know, Univision, as you may know, owns three networks, and so, you know, often the U.S. team used to be relegated to the third network, and now it's kind of moving up in the spectrum depending on who they're playing and when they're playing. So I would say, yeah, it has changed. And the response from the audience has changed as well. The ratings, I wish I had them with me, but the ratings for the Confederation Cup for Univision USA-Brazil final were very, very high. As a matter of fact, higher than Telemundo received earlier in the week for a Mexico national team friendly. So I think that's a bit of an eye-opener and sort of would indicate that the Hispanic audience is coming around to supporting the U.S. team.
U.S. fans have really snapped up tickets to 2010, despite the fact that the media have not been given a particularly positive impression of South Africa in this country. How's that helped a bit?
Oh, it's terrific. I mean, being able to cite the fact that the United States is the leading purchaser of tickets of any nation other than South Africa is again, a tremendous show of support for the World Cup as an event. But, you know, ultimately, I don't think anybody doubts that we wouldn't just sell out the World Cup if it was held here. I think, you know, it's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime event for people. And the opportunity to buy tickets is, I think, just too attractive. So, but it is part of, you know, it's part of the story that we have to tell, and it's. I'm glad you raised it. It's a good fact.
How specific will the bid documents be in terms of, like this round in these cities, the final should be here? Is that all?
Most of that is decided later. There's one caveat to that answer, and that is that in order to host the final match or the opening match, you need to have a stadium of 80,000 or more capacity. So that, despite all the remarkable stadiums around the United States, that does actually narrow the field for where the opening and the final match will be played. And we will probably, in our bid book, have one or two or three suggestions as to where the opening and the final should be, and therefore the FIFA Congress and so on.
Are there any venues that are locked in your estimation? Or markets at least?
I really wouldn't say so, although, you know, I'm not going to name them, but there's a couple, three cities in the United States it's hard to imagine a World Cup not taking place in. But there really aren't any locks, and I should also stress, you know, if we're awarded host nation status based on the bid book, which has 18 cities, it will then be a decision made by FIFA in consultation with us, which of the 18 make the cut for the 12 or 14. And so, you know, even if I think it's a lock today, doesn't mean it will be a lock when that decision is made.